The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Scout.
Hi, babe. Hello.
Look, I'm wearing a shirt that says Hi, Scout.
Oh my God, you have my name under your breasticles. Amazing.
I do.
I love it.
I
love it.
Under my breasticles.
Guys, week of the wedding. Fucking insane. What the fuck? This is where everybody
How do you feel about everything? Like, what's going through your head? Are you just like, okay, I'm ready for it to like happen and just be done already? Or are you like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening?
It feels like a mixture of ups and downs of emotion. Some days I'm fucking so stoked about it. And some days I'm like, oh, this is annoying. I don't want to ever do this ever again. Yeah, there's just like a mixture of emotions. I know we both are pretty overwhelmed, but I think everything is like kind of ironing out. We've been rehearsing our dance and
yes,
and we're very excited about it, but there's like tension sometimes.
Oh no.
Like we just had the dance, and you know, I like to, it is a problem of mine that I have to understand that Tom, you know, he works a 9-to-5, but he works a 9-to-5 from home. So,
right. But he's still working.
Yeah. So when I'm like, you know, when I'm trying to cheer him up or whatever, and I'm like, let's do a wedding dance. And he's obviously got things going on in his brain that's like irritating him. And then when I come and he's obviously trying to be happy for me. And then when he's like upset, I'm like, well, I don't want to bring it into this moment. Like this moment. So it has to be nice and beautiful. I was like, so it's fine.
You could probably give him a blowjob and make him happier than practicing your wedding dance. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. Try that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can try that.
That might help switch the mood a little bit.
But I've got shit I gotta do. I'm like, we need to know this dance. We need to know this dance. This dance needs to be good.
Trust me. Little piece of advice. He'll learn it after you blow him.
Yeah.
Or with the anticipation of, if I do this, I will get this.
We get up early in the morning. We go to Bob Airport and we get on a flight and we go to Santa Cruz for the day and we go get our marriage license.
Mm-hmm.
So crazy. Then we're going to go to our rental place and make sure that we've got everything that we need and change some things around because we need to. And then we're going to go pay our food. And then we're going to go fucking find our... we have four taps. We have four taps in this vintage tap truck. And okay. Since it's Cinco de Mayo, we're going to do strawberry margarita.
Yeah.
And then I'm desperately trying to find a grapefruit beer that they can do in a keg, which is really fucking hard to find. Huh. I didn't think it was going to be so hard. And then I think I might do another margarita, like a plain one since it's Cinco de Mayo, and then find another beer. So we're going to go to a couple of the breweries. I guess the tap truck that we're using, they gave us a list of beers that they're able to get. So we are going to do that tomorrow. And then I feel...
What's the beer that they always serve with an orange slice?
I don't fucking know.
It tastes like oranges. It's like one of the only beers that I ever will really drink if it's there. Of course, I can't remember the name of it. I'll think of it before the end of the episode. And
yeah.
But it has like a citrusy orange flavor to it.
Mm. See, like I don't really like beer unless it's like... Yeah. Like a peach beer or an apricot beer or grapefruit beer. And there's this beer that
so
we...
So you like cider.
Yeah, but cider, it's cider different. Sweet. Yeah, it is sweet, but it's different. I don't know. It's it's hard to explain. There's this apricot beer that we really, really love in Zion that you guys tried. And we just cannot get a keg. We've been trying so hard to grab a keg, but we can't. So now we've got to like, you know, figure that out. And then wine and all that sort of stuff. But hopefully...
Are you buying it and bringing it there, or are they supplying that stuff?
So they're going to go to Costco. They're going to do a Costco run for us.
Okay, cool.
And go grab all of the wines and stuff like that.
I told you that I returned what I didn't open to Costco from my wedding ring.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
So make sure they know. Yeah. Don't open it.
Yeah.
If you have multiples, like use what you have. And before you open another one, like don't open it unless you really need it. Because I swear, I think I got back like $1,200 or $1,300 from unused alcohol.
That's so crazy.
That was unopened.
I really wonder how many people, I mean, I guess drinking is like a big thing at a wedding, right? I'm like, are we going to get through all of this? Like all,
no.
Like, yeah, right?
No, but better to have it than not have
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I have everything done. Like, I'm just not sure. So hopefully everything's like taken care of. Maybe because we've been planning it so much that like now that it's coming, I think we figured everything out. I'm like, I think we've got it all handled.
You do.
Hopefully. Oh,
I can't wait to see you pack your car.
Our car's gonna be fine. I think so. Well, now that you gave us those, like you told us to go buy those retractable,
those totes,
which has kind of saved us. So I think we're gonna be fine. I mean, we're gonna rent a car because we're gonna leave from there, and so my makeup artist is gonna take back our stuff and drop it off at the house, which is awesome. Paige is a really good friend, so she's just gonna drop everything off. But yeah, and then we got the rehearsal space figured out, which we're having it at a brewery, which is really fun. And then we got the food all figured out. I think we're good.
So guys who's listening, we're going to pre-record like another episode. So because Scout's going to go get married and do all that fun stuff. So we're going to pre-record one for the following week of her actual after her wedding. So you'll have to wait for all of the juicy details when she gets back for how everything went. Because you guys have been listening for so fucking long to us talking about this.
I know.
It's going to go by like that.
It's going
like
to be
2 seconds.
So crazy. I just can't wait.
Like, I can't believe it.
I can't wait for the whole day. Like, I'm really excited for like the girl hang in the morning and like.
Just all I, my only advice is like relish in the moments.
Yeah.
You know, give tasks to other people and just make sure to be present and take in the moments because you'll remember those forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been a part of the thread. I'm like literally like.
Yes.
I'm like, can you guys take care of this? Can you take care of this? Can you take care of
good.
This? I just like, I don't want to worry about it. And
I don't think I gave anybody anything to do at my wedding except for putting the bags together physically when we got there for the welcome party. And then I think my friend Tanya wrote the names on the seating cards, and that was the extent of what my friends did for my wedding.
Yeah. It's hard.
So I'm glad to have like the opportunity to like take some of that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's hard to like, I don't know. It's hard to give that control away. I mean, I feel like I've pretty much done everything really.
Yeah, you have. You should be good.
I think I'm good. I'm just like, but it's really wonderful that I have actors and actresses that are coming to the wedding so that I can give them and make sure that they can do the collaborations that I have to do. Yes, guys, I did do collaborations for my fucking food, my flowers, my dress, and what else? And for one of my guest books.
You're so good with that stuff. I can't get... I don't ever do collaborations for anything. I don't even know how. For years, I'm like, how do you do it, Scout?
I didn't know how to do it either. I still don't know how to fucking do it. Sometimes it's a miss and sometimes it's a fucking slam dunk. Like,
the only thing I've ever done where I've been successful was for your bachelorette party.
See?
Which was the hotel and then the Magic Mike stuff.
Yeah. It's really great when it like works out. I mean, now because there's so many like influencers or whatever, like it's becoming less and less more like, you know, opportunities out there.
Right.
Or they now do like, well, it's a percentage off. Like, okay.
Right, right.
That's fine. Like I know Serena, she was like, she didn't pay for her dress at all.
Yeah,
she
that's amazing.
Anything for her dress. They gave me, I think, 20% off. Oh.
That's a lot though.
That was you know, I saved a couple grand. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your other dress is still in my attic.
I know. I
gotta figure out what to do with it.
I have all this stuff. When I get back, I'm gonna put it on more sites. I just put it on one that's the most popular. But I got a couple bids, but
not close to what you wanted.
No, I think everybody because it was size, it's my size. So it's not like a, I think what was it, an eight? It's like an eight,
right?
But we altered it.
You altered it.
Obviously,
in, right?
People need to like be that sort of size. Does anybody out there want to fucking buy my dress? Anybody out there wants to buy my dress?
Are you the same size as Scout?
The ball gown princess Cinderella dress. It's super fucking pretty.
Do you have teeny tiny titties? Because that's really, they need to be able to
no,
fit
but
into
I wanted, you remember
dress.
I wanted the breasticles to be a you little bit bigger because I want to poof. So I think it's like a good B, right? I think it's like,
yeah, it's
there.
A B.
It's like there. Yeah.
What size bra do you wear? Are you 32 or 34?
I don't wear, I'm a 34. I don't wear bras. I think.
I'm 34. Well.
I think. I don't wear bras. But I'm a 34B. Oh.
Yeah. I think
that's weird. Everybody's like, ah! I want to know my bra size. And I'm going to get all this curious. Lingerie. I'm going to get all this stuff. Now you're a C, right? Or a double D. What are you? I don't know.
Oh my God. A double D. Boobs. No, I still wear a B.
You still wear a B?
Yeah, I still wear a B.
I've been really thinking
like
about getting
like,
my boobs
I like
done.
Them like high. But I also don't like to wear padded bras now because my boobs are done. So I wear a B that's unpadded. Where
but
before,
what size
I would
B?
Do a, I'm a full B.
Okay. Okay.
34.
34. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I would want to go a little bit smaller than yours. A little bit.
Mine are so small. You're just always used to seeing them, like, done up.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Mine are small. And honestly, as I'm getting older and, like, now that there's weight in the bottom of them, like, they actually seem like they kind of hang a little bit lower than I would like them.
For really?
Those of you watching on Patreon now, I want them, like up there. See that? I want them up there.
But
I want, like, big,
well, what happened?
Old, I want fake tits is what I want. And I went in with asking for natural boobs and I really wanted fake tits, but I was not ballsy enough to ask for it. So now that I have them and I'm like, okay, I don't give a fuck. I have fake tits. Now I like want
fake
ones that look plastic.
Boobs. Oh yeah. My God.
I'm going to wait till I'm 50.
Okay. That's going to be your birthday present to yourself? Or did you tell
yeah,
David?
I'm going to do
a collaboration.
No, I'm for my fucking tits. No, thank
fuck
you.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's true. Computer's
yeah,
going to die. Talk. My
computer's going
to die.
Some things you don't want to deal on, you know? Some things you're like, I'm not going to go use Groupon for my liposuction. And you don't want to use Groupon. Sorry, Groupon. Groupon's great, except when you're the business owner and then you hate Groupon. I hated Groupon when I owned my fitness studio. It was like, ugh. Ugh, it was just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that sucks.
Everybody.
Couldn't you?
Yeah, because you only get like little bits of money, you know, it's just not worth it. It's great to get like the name out there, but after that, it's just then people only wait until you come up on Groupon. Otherwise, they don't want to take your class. You're like, whatever.
Mm. Can't you like block that though, right? Like to, like can't some places not, right?
Oh yeah, you have to sign up for it.
Okay, cool. It's like Grubhub and like, you know, all
yeah,
of those places.
You're basically saying, it's okay, I'm fine making $3 today. Because it'll get my name out there and I know it will come back to me. And people are so great. They'll love my studio so much that they'll sign up for unlimited classes per month. And then they never do because they're fucking cheap and they just wait for the next Groupon to come out.
Yeah. Or you go to studios where you get a week free and you just keep on rotating. That's
oh,
what
I've
I do.
Done that.
That's what I do.
Yep. Yep. We all do it.
I kind of want to do that with Pilates.
Yeah. They're smarter about that usually. With Reformer, they're like, yeah, no, there's no first class free.
God,
you get like 10% off.
I've been so intimidated to do Pilates, like
why?
The machines. I don't know because I've never done it. So I just
you would love it.
Really,
and it would be such. You're so strong. You would. It'd be great for you.
I feel like I want to do it leading up to the wedding. So when I get back, maybe Wednesday. I've been going every day with my friend Owsley. I don't even know if Owsley, if you listen to the podcast, but shout out to Al. I've been doing sculpt yoga with him every day. And
nice.
This motherfucker does like 12-pound weights throughout the entire class and then is doing like 20 pounds. I just went up to like 8 pounds. I think I'm going to be able to do the 10 pounds throughout the class. Like it's fucking hard. It's really hard. I love it. If you guys have never done a sculpt yoga class, it's no fucking joke. It's amazing. It's great. But I've noticed
there's
such a difference.
Lot of good Pilates Reformer classes on Ventura and Studio City. I'll send you some names of the ones that I used to go to.
Send me. Okay, I want to go. I want to go.
It's easy. And they walk you. They like do it for you and tell you how to do it. You just look at the girl next to you and you can see like what springs they're changing out and what they're, you know, how they're doing everything. And it's, yeah, it's great. You would love it.
Okay, that's what I want to do. I've noticed because I've been doing push-ups a lot, like this muscle underneath both sides, underneath my armpits, like fucking sore. Yesterday, what was it yesterday? It was the day before. It was Clint Howard's birthday party.
Yeah.
And he did.
Did you go?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Nice. Is he coming to your wedding?
Yeah, he's coming to the wedding. Yeah, him and his wife. His wife is so lovely. I love her so much. But a lot of people were there. PJ Souls
was
there.
Was Ron Howard there?
Ron was there. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. I wanted to.
Like, hi.
I wanted
hi.
To go up and be like, you remember?
Do you know me? When you hi, did I'm it, an actress.
When you didn't cast me in The Grinch. Free. I was like, do you remember when I read for you in your trailer and you didn't cast me for The Grinch?
He's like, I remember you.
I remember you. Yeah, Ron was there. He was so cute. He's wearing like a two-piece suit, like a Dodgers, name all over it. It was really, yeah. But well,
interesting.
It was like a dress-up, like sort of shindig. So Clint's wife hired a few actors, and they dressed up as Clint Howard in
different movies.
Yeah. How sweet is that?
That's cool.
How cool is that? So I thought that was really, really, really sweet.
Wow. That looks very different than what I think if our men hired some other actresses to play roles we were in.
I know.
What do you think that would look like for your birthday? I don't know. They'd be like covered in dirt.
Yeah.
And blood.
Yeah. It wouldn't look the same.
It wouldn't look the same.
Like, it's the same person. It's a different movie. Great.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Great. Love your movies. Guys get those cool opportunities. They get those fucking cool roles, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Guys get those things. But it's really cool to like see his career, you know? And
he's such a character actor too, you know?
So good. He's so good. He's so fun too. He's such a fun guy. He really is. They're so in love. It's really, really sweet.
Do you think that he's jealous of his brother ever?
I don't think so.
Just envious?
I didn't get that at all. Like they were so like, I don't know. And I guess.
I mean, he puts him in almost everything, yeah. Right? I mean, he puts him in quite a lot of stuff. So yeah. Wherever, you know, he can find stuff, I'm sure.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think so. Think they're old enough that they're just like, that shit doesn't care. Maybe when they were younger, you know? I was just looking, because it's his 65th birthday. And then Ron is 70.
Wow.
That just like made me feel so old.
Yeah, like they're, like the world isn't infinite. Like we're getting there.
It like made me sad. Like when I saw them both, I was like, oh no.
Oh yeah.
You guys are like up there.
Old, yeah,
fucking
like it's like
sucks.
It's don't have a lot of time left. With
don't
a lot
say
of that.
I know that's fucking crazy.
With, you know?
That's insane. God, just enjoy every moment, man. Enjoy every fucking moment that you got.
It was Kane Hodder's 69th birthday last week.
Whoa,
and I know. I'm like, wow, he's going to be 70 years old next year. I'm already pushing it to the 70th, but like that, like I feel like I've known Kane for just decades. So yeah. I don't see him as like someone that's 70 in my mind. He's like, he's like my age. He's like 48, 47. Like that's the way I see him. Maybe like 50, you know, early 50s, 51, 52. But I don't ever really see him as like an old man. But the numbers, you know, the numbers old. It's scary.
That is crazy. Yeah, I agree with you. He doesn't seem like he's 70.
Like an old man?
That's insane to me. That's crazy. Wow.
But I see pieces of it, you know, when I see him. Like I can tell there are certain things that I could tell that he is getting older, you know, like a signature a little bit will look a little bit different sometimes. I mean, obviously I've been seeing his signature on the same posters as mine for, you know, decades. So I can see little changes and stuff that, as you know, maybe his eyesight or like his guys are getting older. I don't know. They're just things that start to shift, and it makes me sad and scared. And
yeah, it makes me really sad when we're at cons and you know, you're so used to seeing someone almost at every con, and then when they're gone,
like when Sid Haig died,
dude,
you know,
that was hard. That was really hard. Sid and I were like so close, and we were doing so many movies together. Like we would be on so many, we're like, oh wow, and again and again and again, and then like photo shoots. And yeah, that was a brutal one. That was really
brutal. You did your Girls and Corpses with him, right?
We did two covers with him.
So great.
Yeah. Every time like he did a cover, we did it together. Yeah. Nuts.
Did I tell you I watched Bodies, Bodies, Bodies? I didn't finish it.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about that last time. What is that? What was that again? Like,
it's with what's his face from SNL that dated Kardashian? I can't. Pete Davidson.
Yes, I did watch that.
I mean, some of the acting was cool.
Yeah,
you know, I directed by female, so I always like to kind of see that. I don't know. It was. I feel like, I know we've said this before. I feel like when actors on screen, and I will remember this when we were doing our movie. I don't know if I texted you this or not. When actors on screen are dealing with poorly written dialogue, they throw the F-bomb.
Oh, yeah, you did text
in
me that.
Their line every single time.
That's when you are when you give someone the freedom to like, yeah, whatever, just improv anything. It's like, no.
Yeah.
I hate when people curse so much. I mean, and I can tell, like,
I mean, Pete Davidson, he's funnier than what they're going to write on the paper.
Yeah.
For him, because he's playing a character in himself, essentially. But it just felt like, yeah, like they gave them so much freedom to just kind of do whatever that I felt like they lost. Everyone was kind of doing their thing. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you remember it at all?
Yeah, it seemed very not organized.
Seemed not organized. Interesting.
is that the acting, at least. It just seemed all over the place. It just seems
they lost control of.
Yeah, they were just like whatever. I was just like, let's just make it wild. Yeah. It's like that's what I love about the horror genre is that you can push the envelope, but when you push it too far, it just becomes like I don't know. You like take the fun out of it. You just make it like a.
Do you think
goofy,
that we're just noticing that stuff, or do you think people that are not that have not been on the other
also
side
probably old
don't see
school.
That?
Like the horror genre is changing a little bit too.
Yeah.
So that for our younger audience, because they enjoy that because we've got TikTok and we've got all this weird humor around. So it might just be fitting like the younger generation that we like the older gore.
Yeah. It just feels more authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. This is that's new generation, I think.
I mean, it's
the TikToks, everything is just like so. Fast.
What popped into my head was I saw a VHS tape and then I saw like my computer. And I'm more VHS tape than I am computer. So I think like that vibe, that style, that, you know, I don't know. It's like everybody that I see now in movies are trying to copy somebody else. I don't know who anybody is. I can't get a read on their authenticity. I can't get they're all like playing characters that they think should be played that way. Instead of just like letting people into themselves.
Like I said, I think it's a new generation thing. I think there's this humor that I don't quite understand. Like I love when there's humor in horror, but like our humor is a little bit different than what is coming up right now. It's like over the top. It like almost is like an SNL skit. It's like, why are you forcing this? Like you don't have to force this,
right?
Like you can find those little nice soft moments where you're like, oh wow, I'm laughing at a horror movie, you know?
Yeah,
that's a surprise, rather than being like it's like
trying to make me laugh.
Yeah it's strange. I definitely have noticed it. That's why when there's a good horror movie that's not doing that when I'm stoked about it, like talk to me, you know, like stuff like that. Have you seen that movie?
Hey guys, can you give us a list? I have, yeah.
Okay, good.
Can you give us a list, you guys, of like movies that you love that we should check out that are just really good and really simple and well done? I'd love to know. I'd love. Oh, you know what? I was thinking about that the other day. It was like a list of movies that I had wanted to go down and watch and all female directed ones. We got some good questions.
Ooh, question time. Let's
Oh my God, my computer's dinging because, you know, it's your bridesmaids. Scout bridesmaids. That's what's dinging. Here we go. You guys, something about the goddess. I don't know. Did you see it pop up just now or no?
Yeah, it popped up on my computer. And on my phone.
Okay, you guys got yours altered. Did you shorten it all around or just the front? Because mine is like long train in the back and it's going to get trashed. What?
I don't know.
Did we alter all around the bottom? It doesn't have a train.
It didn't have a train.
No, that's weird.
I don't know.
That's you.
That's strange. That's going to be a you.
All right, I'll take care of that one.
I'm going to be like, I don't know. Just get it all one.
What?
One size? I don't know.
Oh, also guys, we should be making an announcement, I think probably this week, that the episode airs for our live in San Antonio.
Ooh, so I'm so stoked.
If you are in the Texas area, it'll be the weekend after. I'll be at Frightmare. But we will be doing a live in San Antonio, the Kings and Queens of Horror, and it's going to be awesome. I got to look and see who's going to be there that weekend so we can nab them as guests.
I think it's only like 4 or 5 people.
That's great. Maybe we can get them all.
I was like, what? I was like, what is this? It's like only like not that many guests. Like we're going to be sitting there like da 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 da.
Okay. We can work on our script.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of wedding, okay, so this was, I just wanted to share this with you. This is from Brianna. She wrote in to us this week and said, wedding topic. Hi, Danielle and Scout. My name is Brie. I listened to this week's episode and couldn't relate more to Scout about the drama surrounding her wedding. Mm. My husband and I got married in September of 2023, and our family crossed so many boundaries at the wedding. My aunt walked up to our DJ before the ceremony and told him to turn our hype up song down because it was too loud.
What?
My husband and I bought a small cake for the bridal party and cake cutting photos, and my grandma was complaining about how rude it was that we didn't get cake for the entire wedding, even though we provided mini cheesecakes through our caterer for our guests. No one looked at the wedding's website either. We had to reach out to multiple family members, reminding them to RSVP. On top of that, our photographer called us a week after the wedding, telling us that she'd lost the SD card that had our ceremony and cake cutting photos.
Fuck off.
Luckily, my family took some photos of the ceremony wedding. Weddings bring out the crazy in people. I reached out last year, but my sister is saying they weren't going to attend my wedding 3 months before. I totally remember this too. And the family dynamic is very odd, and we haven't really talked much since then because I'm still feeling better. Sorry for the long email. I hope you guys read this in the podcast. We did. Love you guys.
First of all, it sounds like grandma needs to take a fucking chill pill. Like, grandma needs to, like, she shouldn't have come. I don't want to be here. Like you should have, like grandma should have like watched it on a Zoom call. Like she probably would have been so much better. Fucking, I would have been like, grandma, sit the fuck down. Sit the fuck down.
They reversed my
put these little things
chart
in your ear and shut up. Like go
they
to bed.
They reversed my seating chart on without me knowing for my reception. So I had all the older people in the back so the music wouldn't be too loud.
Okay.
And then I had the wedding party and younger people like up in the front, and they fucking flipped it. So I had all the old people sitting around the dance floor, and then all my friends like in the back watching the old people like try to yell over while they're eating their food over in the fucking music. And of course I had like Dirty South all the way, like Uncle Luke and all of that, you know, and they were like, what is going on? So
whatever. Yeah. It's like 5 hours.
Yeah, that's
hours.
The kind of stuff you're like, oh, well,
shut
whatever.
Up. It's like 5 hours. Why can't people just like fucking enjoy it and just shut up?
Shut up.
Just shut up.
Just it's shut.
Not your, like, I've never, I just didn't think that a wedding would be so, like, would bring out the worst in people.
Why? I don't know why. What is it?
I don't know. I don't.
Is it bitterness?
You're not paying for fucking anything.
I know. Right. Exactly.
I'm like, okay, you're paying for your, to get there and stay in a hotel. But, like, we do that anyways. Like, right. We do that in life. So what's the difference? Are we just like, do we just like to complain?
People feel obligated maybe that they have to, like, that it's going to cost money?
Maybe.
Would it be different if, I don't know, listen, we flew everybody out for ours. Like, well, not my guests, but like close family, you know, that we just, my father-in-law had miles and like took care of my mom, my sister, my grandma, you know, people that didn't have the money to get to Hawaii. Yeah, they didn't pay for their tickets, and you know, we still had family drama. So I guess it doesn't really matter if you pay for your, you know, your stay or not.
I know. I thought about paying for a few people to come so they could show up, but then I was like, you know what?
You shouldn't have to do that.
I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna, like, you're gonna you're going to come because you want to be there, not because, and I have an issue with that anyways. Like, I will pay for people to show up for me. It's a thing that I've been doing my entire life. And I was like, not today. Like, not today. Yeah. You're gonna show up for me. And
I'm worth the money.
Yeah.
Spend it.
Or worth,
I'm
like,
important.
Like, I get that people have jobs and like us, we're like in the film industry, but like, I wouldn't, maybe that's me. Like, I wouldn't take a job knowing that it was someone's wedding that I really cared about. But whatever. I also get it. I also understand as well. You know, it stings a bit, but it's fine. I've had a few people that have had to take an acting job. And I was like, okay. I was like, but I'm going to let this just sting me for a second.
Yeah. Because you're just disappointed. That stuff is just disappointing.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's hard for it not to be. It's, you know, you want people to, like, the first time in my life, it feels like I just want people to show up for me, and I don't want to have to like hold someone's hand and constantly make sure that they're gonna be there, which I have done, and I've like in the past like couple of weeks I'm like, you know what, I'm not gonna do this anymore. I'm not gonna follow up with people. I'm not gonna keep on making sure that they're coming. I'm just like, I'm just gonna like let it be, and whatever it is, it is. So that's like a really hard pill. That's going to be a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I mean, these are all really good. The one good thing that comes out of all the drama, especially when it's family and wedding, is that you get through it or you get over it.
Yeah.
You know, like you move on. This is kind of the last thing. It's like marriage and then kids. Like those are two such, that's it. Like those are the two things you have now that are big, and then you die.
Yeah. That's my next thing.
That's it. Marriage and kids. That's it.
Yeah.
All the other stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are things that you really get to see true colors. And you also, by getting married and then having children, don't have time for the bullshit anymore.
That's what it is.
And
it's preparing
your own family. It's preparing you to be selfish with yourself and your own family. And you're going to have to be. And you're going to have to be protective of your relationship, protective of yourself, protective of your family, your children. And I think that this is sort of God's way of like weeding through the bullshit. And also, you're right about that age, you know, that like mid-30s is the time that you do it anyway, that we start to go like, wait a minute, this person doesn't actually do me well in this life right now.
Dude,
like, I can't, this doesn't work for me.
I still have not heard from my best friend. I still have not heard from this man that
since you got into a fight with,
that completely like bailed out on me, and I'm still like, I still have yet to like, because like obviously I'm gonna have to like have not a conversation, but I'm gonna have to have something where I'm like, you know what, like this is, I need to like let you go out of my life, because, but I'm still like holding on.
Who's the conversation to be had with?
I guess there's not. I guess like my thing is like, I see like his posts on Instagram, and I'm just like, it hurts. It hurts every time.
I know.
I have to like unfollow. Just seems so petty. Does it not seem like so petty to like unfollow somebody? But like
you don't have to unfollow.
I have to, like, I like see it constantly, and it hurts me. It's like my wedding day is like, you know, fast approaching, and he was literally was supposed to be like the person standing by my side, and he literally made it about himself and said horrible things to me, and like never apologized, and I'm like, why should I have to follow him to see all this stuff? But I'm also that person where like we're adults, so.
Well, you're an adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so weird.
I think that what he's done and how he's responded to everything is someone that you do not want in your life.
No, I definitely know that. It's not someone.
You need to just have peace with moving on. And
it's been like that for a while. It's been like that for a while. So obviously it takes me a long time to
Yeah.
To say goodbye to people. But like you said, I'm like making those changes in my life. So
yeah,
I'm trying.
He's a fucking shitty human being.
Well, I just think he is like, I don't want to say anything.
And there's no excuse for it, Scout. You can't. I mean, you can call it as you see it. Like, I know you're going to give him excuses. And
it wasn't nice. It definitely wasn't nice.
It wasn't nice. And he was he's your best friend that decided to just not show up for you.
Yeah.
That's like, it's unacceptable. Crazy. Those are things like you have to have boundaries and like, where's the bottom line with how much you'll allow someone to do before you go, get away from me. I don't want you in my life anymore.
Yeah.
And that line will come up as you get older.
Yeah.
Or it'll take a lot less than that for, you know, for you to say, get the fuck out. I'm done. And you won't think twice about it.
Brutal, man.
Maybe you'll think twice. You'll think brutal. Twice about it because you're a kind person, but you know, but other than that, you'll, I mean, listen, they say like, what's that saying? You walk away with you know, a handful of friends. If you can count them on one hand, you're lucky. I mean, that's really the truth.
Yeah. And it is pretty insane. Like the group of friends that I've created in the past year since he's been away is like what friendships are supposed to be. Like, truly.
Interesting.
Like, truly. And all the things.
He was clouding your perspective. That's why you had someone took him out of the way for you.
Yeah, it was weird. It's weird. It was weird. And the things that he was saying, I was like, those are false. Like, you know, when people say negative things about you, and I don't know if anybody can relate. I mean, obviously, I'm sure like maybe everybody can relate.
Everybody can relate.
You start thinking like, is that true? Like, is there something that I'm projecting out there? And if so, I want to fix that because that's not what I want people to think. And so I started like thinking that.
Yeah, but his accusations were so, so ridiculous.
Yeah.
That
yeah, some
you
of the
shouldn't
shit
have even
he said
had
was awful.
A minute. You shouldn't have even had 1 minute of having to think, wait a minute.
Dude.
Is there a part of me that could be perceived as this is the way he's saying he sees me?
And to send that to me when I was landing for my bachelorette party that he was supposed to be at?
Yeah.
Like that's just like when I knew it. I was like, you are sending this. You know when I'm landing and you are choosing now to send all this to hurt me to make sure that I'm not enjoying this weekend, which I enjoyed it, but like that shit was still like hurting.
Of course.
It was fucking wild. I could never do that to anyone. No. I could never. There's some shit that I fucking did in my past, but like if I ever hurt somebody or I could never hurt someone like that. Like
not intentionally do something to cause someone hurt and pain.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think that's
maybe
so
you've been
selfish.
Self-consumed or like, you know, like being kids and, you know, whatever. Yeah. We've all done things that have hurt other people. But to know that you're to put it out there specifically to ruin someone's time is my fucking father-in-law used to do that shit all the time when he and my husband were fighting. It was like every single fucking time I posted anything on my social media or he did about we were at pumpkin patch or we were here, we were there or whatever, he would start with the crazy berating text messages to my husband talking horrible things. I was like how does he fucking know everything, you know? And then you're like, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, let me go through and realize that, oh, his fucking mom's following, you know, following my Instagram under different names. I'm sure she listens to every single episode of this. But yeah, it's that like, wow, you take the time, you're so evil that you would take the time to sit down to say something that you know is going to really hurt me where like deeper than anything you could possibly
Some
do.
People are very like I also had another person that was like that times 10 and it's scary. Like if you can be malicious like that and intentful to like hurt someone, like literally physically, like you are okay writing out and sending things that are so vulgar. Did you watch Baby Reindeer?
No, what's that?
Bitch, that's what you fucking need to do, bitch. Everybody out there, I'm sure everybody's watched it. Baby Reindeer on Netflix. It's about, it's based on a true story about this guy that had a stalker, like an intense fucking stalker. And she was malicious. No. I know, but it's really interesting. It's really interesting. It's bizarre. You think it's a stalker story and then it's something so much deeper. I think you should watch it. I think you should watch it. You think it's like a stalker thing, but then it turns into like how much like negative love like that he has within himself. Mm. So what is he projecting, and why did he allow this person to come into his life, and what was it that was feeding him for those like months that he like kept this thing it's a journey. It's a fucking journey. It's really cool.
I should not watch it when my kids are around.
No. No, you should not. No, you should not. But you should watch it.
We're still
really
watching
great.
Young Sheldon. We're on like the last season of Young Sheldon. Carter is obsessed with Young Sheldon because he relates to him. He's like,
aww,
you know, that kid.
That's cute. Do we have another question?
Well, I do.
Good.
This is totally out of the blue, but hi, Danielle and Scout. Question for both of you. Recently on Sky Horror, it's a channel here in Ireland, Danielle's movie, he wrote The Visitor, but it was called The Victim, was playing. And I had forgotten how extreme that opening scene was. I couldn't help but wonder what the vibe was like on set that day and what it's like for either of you to film intense, awkward scenes where characters you play are treated like that. Also, just take advantage of the Q&A for Danielle. I've seen interviews with both Brad Pitt and Quentin Tarantino, both mentioning that a lot more content for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was filmed, and there is even a 4-hour and 20-minute cut that exists and will one day be released. It may sound like a dumb question, but do you have any information on what other stuff was filmed? P.S. If you want to read these questions in an Irish accent, you have my official Irish permission. I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was.
It's the hardest accent to do.
You tried.
So
What movie is it?
It was called The Victim. I did it with Jennifer Blanc and Michael Biehn. I don't know if you know them, but they're in the convention circuit as well.
What's the scene and that he's talking about?
I'm bent over a rock in the opening scene and getting railed from the back. Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting that they even saw that as vulgar because that was, looking back, I didn't even, it literally did. I was so deep into my sex addiction at that time that it just didn't faze me. There was nothing that I even thought about except I was super excited to put on, I was playing a stripper. So I was super excited to put on like a stripper outfit and be on film because I felt like I looked good for the first time and I'd never even done a movie where I'd wear like a bathing suit, nonetheless, like stripper outfit. So yeah, because I was like drinking and smoking and not eating and doing awful things to my body. And that was just during that time. So when I see that picture, I'm like, wow, that was what was going on in my life, was that I just didn't care about myself. So it wasn't hard for me to play it. Only when I look back that I was like, wow, that fucking poor girl. Oh wait, that girl's me.
Yeah.
Oh shit. That's me. Yeah. I wouldn't have done that, in retrospect. So yeah, I think you've had more scenes than me that were like sexually uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, I do them quite frequently. But I think it's the same that you said. I just kind of check out. I don't think so deeply into it. Like I just those scenes are a little bit like I don't know. They're easier. I don't know. Is that fucking weird? Right. Is that weird? Maybe maybe it is because of our sex love, like sort of stuff that it just like doesn't.
Well, I was just thinking it was easy for me then because I could detach, which is what I was already doing in my real life anyway, playing a character, right? So, I wonder now because I haven't really done one of those scenes since I've had kids. You know, and I was just thinking about like the scene that I had in your movie and you came around the camera and you were like, I've never seen you be that vulnerable before, like in real life or on camera.
Yeah.
So that's my first like kind of one back pretty much since I've had kids. So maybe that's more authentic and myself than, you know, the bad. I mean, I'm sure that's probably what it is.
But yeah. Well,
it'll be interesting to see it on film.
Also,
you know?
Your characters are never... You play a baddie all the time.
I know.
You know, you play a strong person all the time. So that's why I think it was super nice to have that character that like, yeah, she, you know, there's plenty of times where she was a strong woman, but there's like, it's like, you know, what we dealt with in our past is like, we were covering a lot of like hurt and vulnerability and a lot of like, you know, inner turmoil. And so
the two movies that I'm signed on to do this year, if they happen, hopefully they both will, are both movies that are roles that I'm finally ready for.
Cool.
It's not the baddie. It's the, having been bad, and now I'm trying to dig myself out of the mess that I've created in my life. Mm. And I think that I'm curious to see how I will look at that behavior on film, if that makes sense. Because mm-hmm. I haven't, you know, even in your movie, like, I'm still playing strong. Like, I had moments of weakness and vulnerability, but I'm still playing strong. So I've yet to play a character that is like broken.
Yeah.
Like fucking broken.
Yeah.
And then needing to have the strength to continue to survive, which is what both of those characters are. So, you know, one is a drug addict and the other one was an alcoholic. So again, more like substance stuff, which I still haven't done. And I always feel like that's so similar to our sex addiction, like any, you know, any addiction. It's just easier to explain it when it's, you know, a physical thing like gambling or, you know, alcohol or drugs. People don't understand. It's like eating, mm-hmm. you know, when I say like, oh, they have, you know, they're addicted to eating. People don't understand. Like, how can you be addicted to eating? It's like, how can you be addicted to love? How can you be addicted to sex? Like, I don't, you know, and that actually, speaking of, we got a really good, it's long. Wait, let me see how much time do we have left.
Oh, we got 10 minutes.
Okay. This is perfect. Perfect segue into this part.
Good.
So I can just go on and on about my childhood. Okay. Where is she? Hang on. It was really, really good. Here we go. Okay. Relationship sex question. Dear Danielle and Scout, first, I want to thank you both for continuing to do this podcast and being so honest and real to who you both are. Thank you for being so generous with your time and attending cons and everything connected with this amazing podcast. Each experience I've had meeting each of you at cons and events, has been a blessing. Before I get into my question, I want to apologize for the length of this email and thank you for the opportunity of writing in. I didn't read this, did I, before? I'm hoping I didn't read this.
I think so.
I know I read this question and flagged it for like last week or the week before, and I didn't get to it. So I hope I'm not repeating myself. So a little backstory to fully understand my situation. I'm a 32-year-old female who during my college years was fully slutty. It was nothing for me to meet someone off Craigslist and have sex with them 30 minutes later. And then later that same day, meet someone else and repeat the action. My number of sexual partners is higher than most my age in the hundreds. And names of partners completely escape me. I since have grown and no longer engage in that type of behavior, and as such, have not had sex in almost 5 years. Each time I think about having sex with a random individual, I get anxious and freaked out. In regards to being in serious relationships, I've dated two guys, with my longest relationship being 8 years ago and only lasting 5 months, with 4 of those months him lying to me saying that he and his wife were getting a divorce. However, I fell for this individual pretty hard. Each time he reaches out, even now, I drop everything to meet up with him. Emotions come flooding back, and then when it inevitably falls through, I overthink why he does not want to meet up and go mentally to a very dark place. He's divorced for the third time, reportedly, but he still has my heart. Sex was never a pleasurable thing for me, but something to make me feel, I know, pretty fucked up. I literally would gag and get grossed out when a guy would come in me and would suffer through all of that to feel something, but with the last individual I dated, it was different. It was actually pleasurable, and I didn't feel gross after having sex with him. Since it's been so long since I've dated or had sex, I feel like I will not be able to get back to that place. I don't know how to date as I barely have experience. To add an extra layer of fucked up shit, I've always struggled with my sexuality but only ever been with men. I'm more open now but still never explored being with a girl. This may be why I'm so fucked up. My question, now that I have explained everything, how do I go about feeling comfortable enough to engage in sex and not feel gross with someone that you're not dating? Or should I continue to hold out until I'm in a relationship, which may never be in the cards for me? If you've made it this far, thank you for reading all of this, and I look forward to any advice you may have. Sincerely. What do you think?
That's a lot of stuff to be dealing with. It makes me wonder, like, what is the real meaning behind all of it?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I know she said a lot in her email, but I don't mm-hmm. necessarily know if maybe she has said the full truth, mm-hmm. which seems like something that she needs to go to a therapist right. and really right, figure right. out what is the underlining
what's,
of
what's causing
it. I think once you're yeah. able to come to that truth and be yeah. able to figure out what that is with a therapist, then I think it might be easier to take those steps with being physical yeah, with someone. I think like, you need to like focus on that. before focusing on when can I sleep with someone next.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's going to be, I think, a long, hard road. There's a lot of things there. I think it's got to start with whatever that ping is in your mm-hmm. belly, whatever that thing is that's making you feel like you don't want to feel anything.
You got to listen to that. You got to listen to that. You got to like live in that feeling there. And figure out what is that? What is that?
Until you can talk to her and figure that out, then all of these other things aren't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you need to take that time for yourself. You know, you've not been dating for 4 or 5 years. That's great. So hopefully you've taken that time to, you know, to do some work, but it sounds like there still may be some deeper places that, you know, you could go. If you're still thinking kind of surface about, you know, when's it going to be? Is it in the cards for me? You know,
I definitely think you also are a good candidate for SLA, and you might be really surprised to go there and just listen to some people's stories, go to different meetings and see, but then also find a really good therapist and really get to the root of the.
I thought one of the things I got out of meetings in the beginning was like, I thought nobody was as bad as me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then you go there and you're like, wow, okay. I'm like 30% of like my bottom was much higher than a lot of people that were in the room. And it was helpful for me to know that I'm going to save myself now because this is what I look like mm-hmm. if I don't do something about it. So that kept me going back.
And you also might be surprised on what you might think that you know what's going on, but then when you go to these meetings or you go and talk to a therapist, you might be fucking surprised as to what actually is happening. When you get a perspective from somebody that doesn't know you but is listening to you, it is so shocking what that person sees back, that mirror. Mm-hmm. And is able to communicate to you for you to like have a different perspective. Like you're obviously like we ourselves only have what we see in the mirror. So it's really nice to be able to like get someone else's perspective. And sometimes it's very helpful. Sometimes it's very fucking shocking.
Right.
But like it's so good and it's so healthy because once
I think first, go online, look up SLAA. It's a 12-step program. Look in your area for a female only.
Women's,
group meeting and find the closest one to you and just go listen. You don't have to do anything. You just go listen. And you'll see a lot of familiar actions. You'll hear a lot of familiar actions. And get to not be alone and see, you know, what's worked for them and make some friends that understand. I think that's number one. Start there and then baby steps and check back with us and let us know, you know, what you're uncovering and what you're finding and how you're feeling and all that stuff. Scout, look like you have something you have to say.
Oh, no. I think just don't like, you know, the physicality of being with someone will be there. I think what's so much more special and so much what your energy should be going to is really figuring out happiness and trying to get yourself completely, not completely, but as healthy as you can be. You know?
And then sex is going to look so different.
It's going to be fucking awesome.
You're not even
going to
recognize it.
I can't wait for you to have that healthy sex.
Yes.
Those healthy moments.
It's fucking weird, isn't it?
It's so weird. I know.
It's weird.
Dude,
Is Tom your first like healthy sex partner, you think?
Yes, but like it was also really strange. I actually had like we had sex the other night and for the first time in a really long time, I felt very connected with Tom in a very powerful, cool, like what you guys talk about, what people talk about, you know, and I hadn't felt like that because I have my sex issues. I, right. you know, like, you know, Tom and I, like, I had a conversation. I was like, I think I just want you to be a little bit more rough. And like, and it's like, maybe I actually don't, I, in my mind, my sex love anonymous mind thinks that I need that to get off and feel like something's happening. But I really just need to like go to therapy and work on things myself and become a healthy version of myself. And then like my sex life, like I actually enjoy the softness and like, you know, like I like enjoy it. And it feels just, it feels exactly like if I was like being, you know,
Like, tossed around.
Yeah. So it's so crazy what working on yourself and going to therapy does for, look at, I'm a case right here for you. It helped me in the bed because I was really like struggling with like, am I just like insane? Like, can I not like, like connect? I don't understand. Like, why do I have to be like super gross and weird to connect to something? It's like, okay, there's something within me that I need to still like focus on and work on. And I did. And that moment the other night, I was just like, wow. I don't even think I told Tom. Well, he's probably, he's going to hear now because he listens to every fucking episode while he's working out in the fucking garage and it's blasting in the alley with all our fucking neighbors. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I don't know when David does it. He listens in his earphones, I think, and his like little things in his ears while he's in the yard,
dude,
like doing yard
he
stuff.
He has
so
it
I
all
never
fucking
know.
Full blast in the alley with like fucking neighbors. I'm like, oh, Jesus. And now our downstairs neighbors just figured out who we were and who I am. And I was just oh my God. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, you can't blast our sex life or...
Oh, but don't worry about the other 50,000 downloads that we have a week when we're like doing really well or a month.
It's just so different. Like,
don't worry about those
like your
people.
Neighbors, when you have to see them every day.
I know.
Every day. Like, hi, Sandy. Yeah, butt plugs.
Like, oh my God, so hilarious. Stupid. Oh, guys, have an amazing Tuesday. Don't forget to follow us on Patreon if you want to see the video.
Yes.
Bloody Disgusting, Bloody FM, Spotify, Apple, iTunes. Where all podcasts are found.
Woohoo!
What else do you want to say?
Thank you, guys, and happy motherfucking Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.